Welcome back.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the United States Military Academy.
Before every football game at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York, the Army drill team performs and the cadets march in review on the plain high above the beautiful Hudson River Valley below. The U.S. Military Academy has a proud football tradition, winning three straight national championships under Coach Red Blake in the 1940s. Those teams featured Heisman Trophy-winning running backs Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis. They were known as Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside because Blanchard charged into the middle of the defense while Davis skirted the ends. Our old friend Joe Drape, who normally covers horse racing for the New York Times, covers West Point's football history and also tells the story of last year's Army team in his new book, Soldiers First, Duty, Honor, Country, and Football at West Point. One of the soldiers on the 2011 team was senior co-captain Steve Erzinger, who, like many young cadets, struggled at first to meet the demands of the military academy.
You know, the first year was a rough year, and honestly, I didn't really want to be here. And as far as I was concerned, credits transfer. And so I just had to pass my classes so I could leave. And didn't end up happening, so I worked my way out of the hole from there.
Today, Second Lieutenant Steve Erzinger is a West Point grad who will eventually be stationed at Fort Knox in Kentucky. The cannons fired after Army scored first in last Saturday's game against Northern Illinois at Mikey Stadium. The Black Knights wound up losing 41-40 and are now 0-2 on the season. But that's not all important to them. Before the game, Here and Now's Alex Ashlock took a walk around the West Point campus and talked about Army football with author Joe Drape.
This is where Red Blake brought Army football into the consciousness here. He was the legendary coach who goes back to Douglas MacArthur, and he met MacArthur when he was a cadet. He was impressed by the guy. They stuck a friendship, and when he went ahead and came here to be a coach, and he was a very successful coach elsewhere, he brought Army football into all its glory.
And where is Army football today? You followed the team last season. They've fallen on kind of hard times. It's obviously not the major football program it used to be. So where is Army football in 2012?
Army football is probably where it should be and probably where more schools should be. They do play Division I, and they do go play against the best teams in the country. And until Rich Ellerson got here 3 years ago, it had been a decade since a bowl game, and it had been 25 since they won one. And in 2010, he went and beat my alma mater, SMU, where I saw what the best football money can buy looks like. And, you know, he's got them back on the upswing. And part of that story and what attracted me to here, he's a son of West Point. His dad went here and was retired. His two brothers went here and retired career military. Used to listen to the game on the ham radios and bases in Germany. And, you know, he believes something that's not only good for here, but good for college sports everywhere is, you know, embrace the virtues of the rest of the student body, especially a place like this. This is a leadership laboratory. It's a place where you develop character. These guys are held to the same standards as their 4,000 classmates. They don't get to skip classes. They don't get special admissions in here. They got to get up at 5:30 in the morning. They got to participate in all military duties. In the summer, they don't go to the weight room and hang out at the McDonald's with their two mates. They're at Benning, they're at Leavenworth, Riley, Germany, Italy, learning the craft of soldiering. And they carry 24 hours a semester.
I was reading that, 24 hours of classes in addition to playing football.
Absolutely. And so all their time's accounted for. And the demands that are coming at them on the daily basis is just extraordinary. And it all is part of the mission here. I mean, you know, you can't simulate, you know, life and death situations, but you've got to put somebody on edge and you got to put them under stress and pressure, and you got to be able to teach him how to sort his way through difficult situations. And that's what goes on up here daily.
In the book, you write about how it's a little more difficult for Army to recruit the really top level athletes, football players, than it is at the other service academies, Navy and the Air Force specifically. Could you explain why that is?
Yeah, Navy and Air Force have a powerful tool of recruiting, especially around the kitchen table with mom and dad. They can say, you know, your son's going to defend our country, And it's a probably good chance that he's not going to look the enemy in the eye. We use drone aircraft. We use submarines and boats. I mean, in Army, you're the tip of the spear. You're the boots on the ground. These guys get out of here. They get their Ivy League education. They become second lieutenants. They also get an envelope that says, you're going to Iraq and Afghanistan, and you're going to be with us for 5 years, and we'll have you more if you want it. And you're going to see the enemy. You're going to look them in the eye. And there's a cemetery here that shows just how deadly that's been over the last decade. The other day, because of 9/11, I counted it up, and I think we're now at 90 former West Point graduates who have died in combat as a result of the War on Terror.
Yeah, there's a scene in your book where I think the cadets are eating in the mess hall, Washington Hall, and one of the upperclassmen, I guess it is, comes in and asks everyone for quiet, and he tells them one of the former cadets has been killed.
It was actually opening day last year against Northern Illinois, and Lieutenant Timothy Steele had died in combat, and two of his classmates from the 2009 team were on campus for that funeral, Tyson and Tara Quink. Tyson played on the 2009 team. Tara was the first female manager of the team, and that's MacArthur.
That's a job that Douglas MacArthur had.
Yes, Frank Borman, Brent Skullcraft. They just don't hand those out. And Coach Ellerson asked them to come over and address the team, and they did it over Trophy Point where we were earlier. And Tyson came in a wheelchair a couple months earlier. He had stepped on an IED in Afghanistan, and he basically told his former teammates, these are guys that he knew, that, you know, he was in the locker room with, you know, told him what happened, told him what his squad did to save his life, told him what being over there is all about, and being here at West Point is all about. And it's about learning to lead, learning to depend on one each other, and the brotherhood. And, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in there. And you got 18 to 22-year-old guys who think they're immortal. I mean, you and I thought we were immortal when we were at 18 to 22.
That was a long time ago.
Absolutely. But, you know, it really kind of hit home. And I guess the happier ending of that story is I was here signing books yesterday, and Tara stopped by. And they now have a baby girl who's named Taylor, 2 months old. He's coaching down at the prep school. She's working up here. So, you know, they truly are America's best and brightest. And we're lucky that this place, this national treasure, as everybody refers to it, is here. And, you know, you've been around today and you've walked a little bit of it. I mean, imagine, this was George Washington's vision, Thomas Jefferson's commission, Lee, Grant, Eisenhower, MacArthur, Patton, Petraeus, Rodriguez. I mean, you just keep going. This is just one of those places that you can, then you can even add the football, Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside, Blanchard and Davis. You just walk around it and you get a real sense of where we are as a nation and how we got here.
That's Joe Drape. His new book is Soldiers First, Duty, Honor, Country, and Football at West Point. You can read an excerpt at hereandnow.org. He spoke with Here and Now's Alex Ashlock on that beautiful campus there above the Hudson. For pictures, go to hereandnow.org and facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.